Welcome, ladies, welcome to, we should call it Ladies Night. Hey, add ladies onto it and it sounds instantly a little bit more creepy. But welcome, I'm so glad you're here. My name is Lindsay Schott. I'm on staff here at Stonegate. I'm officially, I think I'm called women's teacher. But, you know, I'm on the women's team with Jen. We do all the things that us ladies like to do together. And we like to think that here at Stonegate Women, it's going to be beautiful. We're going to have a fun time. But we're going to give you something solid, too, to meditate on and chew on. That's what we want. So if you're new to Stonegate, if you're new to a women's event here at Stonegate, welcome. Thank you for being here. I know what's going on this time of year because I just survived the gauntlet of the last 2 weeks. And so thank you for coming, right? Okay, I know what's going on. I know all the things kicking off. So welcome. So I don't know if you're like me, but probably since about my junior year of high school, it's the beginning of the school year that feels like a new year to me. I feel like when January rolls around and they're like, think about your year, make some goals for your new year, think about what words you want for your next year. I'm like, I am mid-year. I don't know why we're doing this right now. And so since my junior year of high school, I feel like when school starts, I'm in new year mode. I am now thinking of all the habits that fell off in the summer because it was summer and all the things I'd like to ratchet back up once we hit fall. And also, if you know me, I also love fall. So in the summer, I'm like, I can't have any goals. It's too hot. And so once it seems like it might be fall, I'm like, okay, now we can get back to life. So if you're like me, fall feels like a new year has begun, and now I want to try some things in my life to make myself healthier or to make myself more emotionally available or whatever it is, right? And so if you're like that, I want to put before you a word we've talked about tonight, and that is cultivate. Consider that word for your life, cultivate. And to cultivate anything is just to prepare a place, namely soil, ground, so that something good can grow. That's what cultivating is. It involves preparation before. It involves maintenance during. It means caring after even there's fruit. But in cultivating, there is work to do if something good is going to grow. And spiritually, we are very much the same. The Bible uses lots of language to talk about human hearts, but it uses garden language, right? So we could go into so many places. We could talk about humanity starting in a garden, right? But I'm going to land here just for a couple examples. One is Proverbs 4:23. You probably know this one. If you're trying to learn boundaries, you know this one. Proverbs 4:23 is keep your heart, guard your heart, for from it flows, right, streams of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. Now that word, keep, is actually a very interesting word, just to go deep tracks on you. It does mean being vigilant, being watchful, like in a vineyard, right? So the picture here of keep your heart is a gardener walking through the garden and assessing what's going on. How are the plants doing? How is the water? How is the soil? Are there bugs in here? Are there viruses in here? What's going on with my garden? That is the watchfulness, the keep, that is in Proverbs 4. Keep your heart this way, like a vineyard, okay? Now, there's another place where Jesus talks. He talks about human hearts like soil. It's called the parable of the soils. And it gives examples of what happens when truth is thrown out on human soil and the reaction to it. Human hearts are very much like gardens, but the truth stands that if anything good is to grow, you've probably got to cultivate it. You've got to cultivate it. And the inverse is true. If we don't cultivate, not only will good things not grow, bad things will grow. That's what gardening is, right? Now, here's the deal. I'm a great person to talk about plants and cultivation because I don't like doing any of it. And so when I tell you I cannot keep a plant alive, it's true. Plants come to my house to die because I do not take care of them. The plants in my house are fake succulents. So not only is it the plant that is the most drought resistant, it's a fake one of that because that's what I can do. That's what I have to offer. The main reason, though, that I am not a plant lady is because I am a one-and-done lady. I'm a one-and-done. It's why I haven't decorated my house since I moved in, because I feel like that needs to be a one and done. Those of you who like to decorate, you're like, oh my gosh, let me in her house. Let me in. Okay, but planting is the same way. I'm like, I feel like I should plant plants in my yard one time and I should never have to deal with it again. like I should water this and this should be done, right? And those of you who garden and those of you who know plants, you're going, this, that's not at all how it works, right? She's going to be embarrassed, but we're going to go for it. All these gorgeous house plants that greeted you when you came in, those belong to one person. Can you believe it? Janie Henry, she's probably here somewhere. She is nurturing those babies. If you have houseplant babies, you know that those are all houseplant babies that have been cared for. And this is why I'm not a plant person. I don't nurture them. I don't care for them because I'm like, I am keeping 4 kids and 2 dogs alive, okay? And that's all you can get from me. I can't keep the plants alive. But plants, gardens, growth require cultivation. If you want anything good to grow, you must cultivate. You must cultivate, okay? And the same is with our souls. If anything good is to grow, we must cultivate our hearts and souls. So that is what we're going to talk about this evening. So if you're a yes to that, here's where our stops are. We're going to talk about what we're growing in. We're going to talk about the condition of the soil itself, right? Can anything grow? So what are we growing in? Then we're going to look at what are we growing with, which is namely about our water. What's the water situation, which we're growing with? And last, who are we growing with, right? So what are you growing in? What are you growing with? And who are you growing with, okay? So our first stop is really soil. What are you growing in? Where are you at? If some good is in your life, if there's a move of God in your life, can a good thing even grow? Because the thing about gardens is like before you assess anything, you got to think about what is happening in that soil. What's going on there, okay? And soil matters. We're talking about it in two ways. Soil matters what you take out, what you get out of that soil, and what you need to put back in, okay? So soil matters. What you take out and what you put back in. Let's do the fun part first. Let's talk about what needs to get taken out of the soils of our hearts. Now, I want you to look at something on the screen with me. This is very disturbing. This is a disease. This is a diseased rose bush. This is actually right outside my house. Perfectly timed. This is not technically my rose bush. This is the HOA's rose bush, but that's neither here nor there. Yes, you're about to find out my roses also died. This knockout rose bush, which knockouts are almost unkillable, right? Praise God. I love knockout roses. You can't kill them, right? This is a knockout bush. This bush has a disease. This bush has a virus. Can you believe that? And it's called witch's broom. And witch's broom is a rose disease. And what it'll do is it'll grow a bunch of buds, and then the roses will die in the bud. If you can see it close enough, the stalks got real thick and thorny. Like this is a classic case of witch's broom. And it is viral, and it spreads from bush to bush. And there is no cure. And the only thing you can do is take out all the affected plants, their roots, everything. You have to burn it if you can and get rid of it. And you cannot grow roses for years in that same soil. You cannot. So we did have witch's broom. We for sure had it. And we didn't know. So we tried to do roses again. They died. And then we looked on the internet. We know we had witch's broom. And now we don't have roses anymore. Ironically, I live in a neighborhood called the Rosebud. And the whole neighborhood is infected. So, it's really sad. It's really sad. But this is to show us, though, what's remarkable about a disease like this, a hardy plant, if you do not take this up by the roots and destroy even every root that is in the dirt, that virus will kill any rose you put in the place, right? What is in the soil matters. If you have to weed a garden, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to get those roots up. We taught our children how to weed, thank God. And we tell them, get the roots, kids, get the roots, right? Because that's what matters. What is in the soil matters. Because you could plant something, but can it grow? Is it getting choked out? Now, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13. We've got it up there. Jesus talks about this. As the sower goes out, as God goes and gives truth, here's Matthew 13, 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now look with me at the thorns that are choking out the word. It is the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And here's what it doesn't say. That wild and unruly desire for you to go do drugs and go on a drinking binge, that's going to ruin your life. If you're dealing with that, let's talk about that. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. These seem like very average things. These seem like very normal things. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. There are roots of things, and there are diseased plants. There are diseased desires in our soul that we might feel like it's neutral, seems reasonable, and they are choking out the word. These things are not neutral. They have the ability to destroy our souls. And so, a really good question to begin asking is, God, what do you see in the garden of my heart? What root is dangerous? What diseased plant lives in my heart that you would love to take by the roots and get that out of there? Now, I think similarly, when I think about, gosh, Lord, look at my heart, what needs to get rooted out, I actually think of another analogy that Paul gives in his letters. Now, Paul uses a lot of the language of putting something on and putting something off. And this is the daily posture of someone who trusts in Jesus, that every day we kind of live with a wardrobe. And the wardrobe we live with is the set of clothes we always had. You know, those old things. The things that are probably comfortable, like old sweatpants and t-shirts. The clothes that are comfy that we like. But then there's this other wardrobe that we have been gifted by Jesus, which is significantly better. And every day we wake up and go, I was used to these clothes, and you're telling me to put on these clothes. It's all like rooting our soul. And so in Colossians, here is the instruction. Colossians 3, 5 through 9. It says, put to death, therefore, what's earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. The daily act in our life of putting off that old person, of rooting out what is in our soul that is unchristlike, is the work that we do to cultivate our soul so that something good can grow. For something good to grow, it does mean that evil things need to be rooted out, right? And this is what Paul describes here. He talks about it like put it to death, take it off, put it away from you. And these are things that we deal with on a regular basis. I deal with them with a regular basis, right? As the list keeps going on, you might be like, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. And then it keeps going. I'm like, there I am. I was hoping the list wouldn't get to me, but there I am, right? We know what these things are usually. If we pause for a moment in prayer, the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring them up. So what are you currently aware of right now that you're like, yeah, that would be something he wants to root out? It's there, usually at the top of our minds. The Holy Spirit brings us to mind. It could be a consistent covetousness of other people's homes, of their marriages, of their job opportunities. It could be resentment towards a family member, your spouse. It could be a constant low-level anger and rage that just sits right here in your throat, comes out at different times. There's plenty in our life. The Holy Spirit is faithful to reveal it. What are you aware of now that you could say, yep, that is a witch's broom in me? And I think he would want to get that out of there. For me recently, I am most comfortable in a feeling of anger. Now, those of you who like to psychoanalyze personalities, you've already figured me out, right? I feel most comfortable there. If I'm feeling insecure, overwhelmed, anxious, or anything, I don't like any of those feelings. So I'll just cap it with anger because that feels safer, because I think that's going to keep me safe. And so what I have felt in the last few weeks of going back to school and everything being overwhelming is also just a low-level anger sitting right in my throat that comes out a lot in traffic. It comes out a lot in traffic. It comes out a lot when my kids, do your kids in your house walk right in front of your feet? And I'm like, stop stepping on my feet, right? It just comes out. Wah! And in all seriousness, I have been like, Lord, I know this is a root of anger that you would like to deal with. I know it. And I do not have the power to overcome it. Your word is clear. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Oh, Lord, uproot that anger in me. That's been a regular prayer for me in the last few weeks. I do know that he's working, but I also know there's more to cultivate in me because he's still working on it. That's a root that I'm aware of in myself right now. What are those roots that need to go so that something good can grow in you? Now, that was the first part, right, of our soil. It was what needs to come out. But here's another wonderful thing about soil. Some things need to be put in your soil for good things to grow. This is called amending soil, right? In Dallas, our soil is filled with clay. And so clay is so thick when it is wet that roots can't grow. And then when it dries, it's just too hard. And so a lot of times if you're making a garden in Dallas, you've got to amend the soil here with something else. You've got to put good soil. You've got to put nutrients. You've got to put sand. And sometimes if you're growing something specialty like a hydrangea, right, you've got to add acid, right? Different plants need different things added to their soil. And we are no different, right? You've got to add things into your life for something good to grow. I have a giant garden bed in the back of our house. It actually lines my bedroom right in the back, and it's big. To me, it's very big, y'all. And I told you, I was a one and done lady. And so I tried to convince my husband, what if we concreted this whole thing and put some cute chairs here? And he said, that hurts my soul. And so we have a garden bed, and I want to weed it once every few years and be done. And my husband Landon is diligent to nurture that thing. He's a great garden nurturer. He does so well. And he tells me every year, Lindsay, in order for this bed to do well, we do have to weed it and we have to plant the good plants. Because if you don't plant the good ones, then the weeds just take it over, right? So good things have to be put into our soil as well. Now, we have so many good things in front of us that God has already provided. He hasn't left us with a big question mark. How in the world do we amend the soil of our hearts? He's like, I've got you. Check this out. He wants to amend the soils of our heart with his good words and with prayer. It's real basic. Look, new revelation tonight. The word and prayer. I bet you've never heard that before. But look at this with me. This is the truth. Psalm 1, verses 2 through 3. The person who's blessed, right? Here's who they are. This is a person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither in all that he does. He prospers for something good to grow. Being rooted in his word is a great way to have good things flourish in the soil of your heart, right? And prayer is the same way. For me to sit and to know, one, what things God might want to root out, I would need to sit with him. I would need to talk to him. I would need to be quiet long enough to say, Lord, what do you see? What do you want to do? And then hear from him. And his word does the same thing. His word says that it divides even our motives, right? So it's from his word and prayer with him that he reveals these things. And it's also the word that responds back to me that says, yes, Lindsay, there are roots in the soil of your heart that are not good. But you know what? That's not the end of this story. It is the word, and it is in prayer that we are reminded of everything that Jesus has already done for us, all that he has already accomplished, that's already finished, and that he has every ability to finish this work in us, right? Those comes from the word and from prayer, those two things together. Cultivation takes time. It's a process. If you work in a garden, you know this. It's not a one and done, not ever. But it's an incredible process of weeding out bad, of amending in the good, and over time, very good things can grow. I find for me, I am usually fighting the tension between I am intense and I want intensity, but I can't keep that over time. And so the win would be consistency over intensity, right? Consistency over intensity. And something good can be cultivated. So you have these cards, and we're going to look over this later, but your first question is about that. What things are you aware of right now, just in your heart, that God would want to root out so that something good can grow? And what's something that you can think of that you would love your heart to be amended with? Lord, fold that into me. Make me fruitful in that way. Now that was soil. That was what we're growing in. Now we're going to talk about what we're growing with, which is really a water situation. And water is a situation. And I know water is a situation because every spring, in the beginning of the summer, about that time, my husband goes out to the lawn and he puts tuna cans out there. And if any of y'all know, you put tuna cans out there because that's how you measure the watering for your grass to see how it's doing. And every summer we usually have to replace sprinkler heads because water matters a lot. And similarly, when you're talking about soil, it was what's in the soil and what you're taking out of the soil. Water is the same way. You need water in and you need water out, right? If you love house plants, you also know water in, water out is a very complex system to keep that dang plant alive. It feels like if you look at a house plant wrong, it's gonna shrivel. So water in, water out is a very big deal. We know water is a big deal. You would just need to look at Death Valley. Just, you would know, right? Now, the first thing in, the water in, let's look at John 7. What would it mean for us to have water in? Here's what the Bible talks about as water in. This is John 7. This is Jesus talking. 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So in the New Testament, we learn from Jesus that water in means a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It means that the Spirit was poured out. That's the language the Bible uses in Acts. The Spirit is poured out into believers, and we actually have a relationship with him. And in John, and then later in 1 John, John will actually show us that it is through the Spirit of God that we abide in him. Because Jesus gives the command, right? Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the way we abide is that we have a relationship with the Spirit who is present and who's poured out on believers. Now, abiding is not a word I use regularly, right? I don't tell my children, hey, abide with me. I should, though. They might like that. It's just sort of a bit of a distant word, and I like it, right? But I'm trying to give us a sense of when Jesus says, abide with me, and Jesus is not physically here anymore, and we are commanded to abide, then what does it mean for me to abide with him? Through the Spirit. I think a visual would help. I've asked my friend Lindsay to help me with this one. This is the lovely Lindsay Tucker, everybody. Thank you so much. I asked her, I was like, can you do this? She was like, sure. Okay. So this is Lindsay. Now, Lindsay, in this scenario, you're the Holy Spirit, okay? Because I felt like that felt more right. And so you are the Holy Spirit, and my job is to abide with you. Now, the word abide means dwell or remain with, okay? And so I'm going to do my best to remain with Lindsay wherever she goes. So you go wherever you want. And I'm going to try and follow you. Oh, gosh, okay. Yep. Yes. Now, it might be helpful if maybe I held on to her a little bit more. Okay, got you. And then if I, now you try to give me directions too. Okay. 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 Yes, thank you. Okay, I like that. That's good. Okay, this is great. Thank you. Thank you so much. The lovely Lindsay. Now, to abide with the Spirit in that way, that I am arm in arm with the Spirit, going where the Spirit goes, right? I'm stopping, I'm moving. Sometimes I want that to happen, like, I want to hear him, like, Lindsay, do this. I don't normally experience him like that, although some things have happened. I will say this. In my walking with God, in learning to abide with God through the Spirit, there are two things that have propelled me into that relationship, and you've already heard them. It's the word and prayer. And here's what I'll say about that. This book, this, is the most Spirit-filled thing that exists. He breathed out this whole book, this whole thing, even the weird things. And if I want to know his language, if I want to begin to understand his voice, if I want to get the subtleties of how do I know the difference between me and something that's a spirit? How do I know the difference between me and something that's not from him at all? The first place, this. This will get you to know his language. If we want to begin hearing him, it will start here. If we are longing for different words from the Spirit while we are not reading this book, don't expect him to give new words when you don't care about his old ones. We read the word as the most Spirit-filled thing we have, and we pray. We pray. Prayer and the word are the two pedals of the bike of your growth. On the bike of your growth, you need both. You need the word and you need prayer, and they fuel each other, and they should. In prayer, you will learn his voice. In prayer, the Spirit will speak back these words to you. While you read, the Spirit will remind you of what you learned in prayer. And in prayer, your relationship with him will grow. You will learn to listen. You will learn to speak. He will remind you of things. He'll convict you of things. He'll even move you out to do things way outside of your comfort zone. All of that happens in prayer because all of that happens in relationship. The beautiful thing about God saying, I want you to abide with me, what he's basically saying is, I want you right next to me. I want you right next to me. I want you as close as you possibly can be. So come with me. And all of that grows by word and prayer together, cultivating our life as much as possible to leave as much room for word and prayer as time and space can possibly allow. That is how good things grow in us. That is how good things can grow. He is water to us, and that is water in, the word in prayer. Now, water out. You know why the Dead Sea is dead, right? It doesn't go anywhere. Water comes in, and it never leaves, and it's called the Dead Sea. I pray we are never this way spiritually. I pray that there always be an outflow from us towards others that we are serving. Always, always a place where we're being poured out. I love these verses. We're going to hit Isaiah 58 in a second. The prophet Isaiah has lots to say to God's people in Isaiah. And the prophets are always going for right heart and right action, right? Together. That God's people would have the right motive, the right love, the right worship, the right affection, and they would have the right action coming out of that. So in this particular section, he is hitting on their action, but it is not without heart. But he is addressing what they're doing in their lives. So this is Isaiah 58, 10 through 11. He says this, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. It is really interesting to me that small section starts with being poured out. Don't we all fear that if we pour ourselves out, we will not be filled back up? Right? We have all felt the exhaustion of life, just doing life. But there is a promise here for God's people. If you will pour out, the Lord will guide you, he will satisfy you, he will make you strong, and he will make you a watered garden while you are poured out. This is supernatural. This is not normal means. This is not reasonably portioning ourselves out. I'm not saying you don't have boundaries. I'm just saying this is supernatural. To be poured out in obedience to him for the care and the good of others, knowing he will fill me back up. He will make me a watered garden. He will do it. Spiritual health is both. Spiritual health is water in and water out. It is both things. Just to have one is probably not healthy. Even all water out is probably not good, right? Just the way water in isn't. God will make you fruitful and he will water you even as you pour out. Do you feel challenged by him to come out of a comfort zone and be poured out somewhere? At this church or in this community? Water in, water out. Now here's the last thing. We talked about our soil, things that come out of the soil, things that got to go in the soil. We talked about water. Got to have water in. You got to abide in the Spirit. You got to have the word and prayer driving that relationship with the Spirit. And you've got to be poured out. You've got to be poured out in some way. Now here's the last thing. Who are you gardening with? Who are you gardening with? Now, I bet you think I'm about to tell you to garden in community, which would be correct. Which would be like, yes, that's accurate. That's not what I'm about to tell you, though. I'm telling you this. Who are you gardening with? You happen to be gardening your soul with the most masterful gardener in the universe, and it's God. And that feels like great, great news. Because for me, sometimes a message like this can come across to me as another thing that I have to do right. I have to eat enough protein. I have to exercise enough. I have to watch my caffeine. I have to take my supplements. I have to walk the dogs. I have to check the kids' homework. And then I come to this, and Lindsay is now telling me I have to cultivate my soul. I have too many things to do, right? I want you to hear this. We are cultivating our souls with a master gardener whose shepherding will never fail, whose kindness to us will never run out, whose resources will never run dry, and whose presence will never leave us, not once, not ever. And so whatever small endeavor we make to cultivate, he will match it and do way more. He is always used to taking our very small and making it very significant, right? This is what he does. He does it all the time. I cannot tell you how many good things have come to my life because I just sat for 5 to 10 minutes and I said, I have 5 to 10 real minutes to just focus on you. I'm here and that's all I've got. And he can do it. He can do it. Consistency over intensity, right? John 15:1 has this wonderful, wonderful reassurance to us. I love it. I'm going to find it. John 15:1. This is Jesus talking. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. My Father is the one who tills the soil. My Father is the one who walks through the garden and watches the grapes and sees how everything is doing. And so the encouragement I want us all to feel is he is most committed to our growth. If we must cultivate for something good to grow, the person in that scenario most committed and most able is not us, it's him. And that is great news. That is great news. To talk about the Father is to know that he is a Father committed to us at all costs. And we know this because he secured our growth in the life of his Son. So if you ever have a thought that is like, I don't know, maybe I'm a disappointment. I don't know. I have a lot of things in my past that I'm kind of embarrassed about. I have a lot of things in my present that I don't know if he wants to deal with. God has spoken throughout all time and said, I will purchase you and I will give up the life of my Son to do it. That's how committed he is to your fruitfulness and your growth. He gave his Son. Now, this means you have been made alive. You have been made alive. It is not, sometimes with plants, you work on them and they still die. That's probably why I also don't like them. That's irritating to me, you know? But with God, he already made you alive. The hardest part has already been taken care of. The work now, he is successful and victorious and always able to do, which means that on your driest and worst day, you are not dead. You are just dormant. That's it. That's all that means. And dormant and dead are two very different things. And he can bring anything to life. And I'm going to show you through nature. Now, I mentioned Death Valley because water really matters. Never gets enough water. Like the least watered place in the United States, okay? It's terrible. But, whoa, Do you know what can happen if it rains on Death Valley? Well, let me show you. This is what happens when you get rain on Death Valley. Well, that's very different. Very different. This is what happens when rain falls on Death Valley. It's called a super bloom. And scientists were baffled because they thought there was no life in that desert. And that is not true. Seeds were all throughout that desert, carried by the wind, carried by animals, carried by birds, I guess. And then the rain fell, and wouldn't you know it, life came to be. So, if you are in a season that feels dry and that feels dormant, you are not dead. You probably just need some water. You probably just need some water. And if you're dry and dormant, don't forget, there's seeds he's putting in that. There's seeds he's putting in that. It's not wasted. There's seeds he's putting in that. Don't give up. Jesus has also made us alive. The Father is committed to our growth because he gave the Son. The Son is committed to our growth because he gave his life. He gave his life so that we could grow. He gave his life so that we could have a relationship to the Father and the Spirit. He gave his life so that we could walk alongside him. And the other good news, I don't know if we've said this enough in the songs today, he is alive. He is alive. There is an alive man in heaven right now interceding for you and me, and it is Jesus. He's alive. You and I are alive. It's not that God's word will go out and absolutely nothing will happen. You are alive. End of story. You were made alive, not by your own doing. He will make you responsive. He has made you alive, and he will awaken your heart if it feels dead. And the Spirit is committed to you as well. The Spirit is the one who will never leave. The Spirit is the one that we abide with. The Spirit is the one through whom we have to do everything. When Jesus says, you have to abide in me to do everything, we do that with the Spirit. And he said, I won't ever leave. And we engage him with the word and with prayer, and we grow in a relationship with the Spirit. And that's how we cultivate our hearts. Before Jesus, our souls are infected with a witch's broom. It is our sin, and it is the curse of sin. And we do not have the solution to it. It will ruin us every time. But there is a powerful, wonderful, good gardener for the soul, and it is Jesus. He has come, right, to remove the curse. He uproots all of it out of us, and he will be victorious. Now, I am not a green thumb. I told you that. I'm a one-and-done lady, so I can't keep the plants alive. But I do care about cultivating my soul, and I care about y'all cultivating your souls so that something good can grow. I don't know if y'all know this, but Stonegate is having prayer services now in that beautiful chapel that got built, right? Which is incredible. And so I don't know if you know this, but that means God is about to do some really amazing things here, right? If you start praying, y'all, watch out. God is about to do some very cool things. And I want something good to grow in me as he does that. I want to be a part of what he is doing. I want to be in that. And praying with him and with others is a part of what he's doing. So keep your heart, because from it flows life. Cultivate it, keep it. Watch the garden of your heart, invest in it. Ask him to root things out. Ask him to amend things in. Ask him to pour a spirit like water into your life. And be brave when he tells you to be poured out. This is how good things can grow in us. There are incredible opportunities at this church, if you go here, for you to be given God's word. We've got Bible study here for the women. We've got equip classes. And there's incredible opportunities for prayer, corporate and personally. And if you're going, gosh, I want to grow, I don't know where to start, then come talk to me. We're going to be in this, like outside in this corner of the lobby if you're new and you want to get plugged in. We want good things to grow. And we are working with the master gardener. We cannot fail. It's really good news. I'm going to pray for us in just a second, but you have a card. You got it for the game. And this is the other side of it. And I asked you the first thing about what's one thing you want God to weed out in you, what's one thing you want him to amend. But I have another question. What would you like him to send rain on? What in your life feels like Death Valley that you're like, gosh, I would just love him to send rain on that? What is that? And the last one, what's one thing you want to you want to celebrate, praise God for, is a reflection on the fact that God has secured everything for your growth. All of the hard work was already done. The Father sent the Son to give his life. The Son gladly gave his life and paid for our sin. And he resurrected from the dead and overcame all of the power of sin and death. And then they sent the Spirit of God that lives inside of us to convict and to shepherd, to guide and to be a comfort. So with that, what can you celebrate that he is in your life? What can you celebrate? God did this for me. He's doing this in me. What can you celebrate? Because he is on the move. What's next is we're going to give you some time and space to pray. Answer if you know the answer now, but take time to ask him. We're going to give some time with the music. Becky is going to come out. But take time to prayerfully consider this and answer. And then we'll have a moment that we'll be praying some of these things together with the people right around you. But let me pray for us, and we'll take a few minutes to prayerfully consider these questions and answer these. God, we praise you that you're the master gardener. It makes me laugh to think that Jesus, when you resurrected and your friend Mary saw you, she thought you were a gardener. And I don't know what you were doing or what that means, but she thought you were a gardener. In the first place that you were when you resurrected was a garden. And oh Lord, we ask you to come and do that work in our heart. Lord, we have no power over the weeds and the bad roots of our soul. Only you have the power. Only you can root out jealousy and pride, our anxiety and our insecurity, our covetousness, everything in us. We couldn't root it out, but you can, because you're satisfying and you're good and you're wonderful and you're kind. So, oh God, would you come through your Spirit, convict us of those bad roots and those weeds, because you want our freedom and you want growth for us. You want good things, and amend our soil with your words and amend our soil with the truth from your word and your Spirit. And Spirit, come like water. Water our lives. And cause us to grow. Lord, we want to see you move in power here. Lord, would you speak to us now? It's in your name we pray. Amen.